Number 5171. Continuation concerning the correspondence with the grand man. Here concerning the correspondence therewith of the interior viscera. To what provinces angelic communities belong may be known in the other life from their situation relatively to the human body, and also from their operation and influx. For they flow into and operate upon that organ or member in which they are. But their influx and operation can be perceived only by those who are in the other life, and not by man unless his interiors are open to that extent, nor even then unless the Lord gives him a sensitive reflection joined with perception. Number 5172. There are certain upright spirits who think without reflection, and who therefore rapidly and as it were without premeditation utter whatever occurs to their thought. They have an interior perception which does not become so visual by means of reflection and thought, as is the case with others. For in the course of their lives they have been, as it were, self-instructed about the goodness of things, but not so much so about their truth. I have been told that such persons belong to the province of the thymus gland, for the thymus is a gland especially serviceable to infants, and during infancy is soft. In such spirits likewise there remains a soft infantile quality, into which flows the perception of good, and from this perception truth shines forth in a general manner. These spirits can be in great turmoils without being disturbed, as is also the case with the gland in question. Number 5173. In the other life there are very many methods of agitation, and also very many methods of initiation into gyres. In the body the purifying of the blood, as well as of the serum or lymph, and also of the chyle, represents these agitations, which are effected also by various corrections. And the subsequent introduction into use of these fluids represents the initiation into gyres. It is a very common thing in the other life for spirits, after undergoing agitation, to be brought into a tranquil and delightful state, and thus into the communities into which they are to be initiated, and to which they are to belong. That the correction and purifying of the blood, serum, and chyle, and of the food in the stomach, correspond to such things in the spiritual world, cannot but seem strange to those who in natural things think only of what is natural, and especially to those who believe in nothing else, thus denying that there is or can be anything spiritual that acts and rules within natural things. Yet the truth is that in each and all of the things in nature and her three kingdoms there is an inward act of force from the spiritual world. And unless this were so, nothing whatever in the natural world could act as cause and effect, and consequently nothing could be produced. That which is within natural things from the spiritual world is called a force implanted from the first creation, whereas it is an endeavor on the cessation of which action or motion ceases. Hence it is that the universal visible world is a theater representative of the spiritual world. The case herein is like that of the motion of the muscles from which comes action. Unless there were in this motion an endeavor from man's thought and will, it would cease in a moment. For it is according to laws known in the learned world that when endeavor ceases, motion ceases, and also that all determination is in endeavor, and that in motion there is nothing real except endeavor. It is clear that this force or endeavor in action or motion is the spiritual in the natural. For to think and will is spiritual, and to act and be moved is natural. Those who never think beyond nature have no conception of this, and yet they cannot deny it. Nevertheless, that in the will and thence in the thought which produces is not alike in form to the action that is produced, for the action merely represents that which the mind wills and thinks. Number 5174. It is known that the food in the stomach is agitated in many ways, in order that its inner elements may be extracted and may serve for use, that is, may pass into chyle and then into blood, and that it is further agitated in the intestines. Such agitations are represented by the first agitation of spirits, which all take place according to their life in the world. In order that evils may be separated and goods brought together to serve for use, and therefore it may be said of souls or spirits that shortly after death or release from the body, they come first as it were into the region of the stomach, and are there agitated and purified. They in whom evils have obtained the ascendancy, after being agitated with no good result, are conveyed through the stomach into the intestines, even to the last, namely the colon and rectum, and thence are cast forth into the privy, that is, into hell. But they in whom goods have had the ascendancy, after some agitations and purifications become chyle, and pass into the blood, some by a longer and some by a shorter way, some being agitated severely, some gently, and some scarcely at all. These last are represented by the food juices, which are at once imbibed by the veins and carried into the circulation, even into the brain, and so on. Number 5175. For when a man dies and enters the other life, his life resembles food, which is softly taken hold of by the lips and is then passed through the mouth, throat, and esophagus into the stomach, and this according to the nature contracted in the life of the body by various activities. At first, most spirits are treated gently, being kept in the company of angels and good spirits, and this is represented by the food being first touched softly by the lips, and then tasted by the tongue to discover its quality. Food that is soft and contains what is sweet, oily, and spirituous is at once absorbed by the veins and carried into circulation. But food that is hard and contains what is bitter, disagreeable, and but little nutritious is reduced with more difficulty, being let down through the esophagus into the stomach, where it is corrected in various ways and windings, and food that is still harder, more disagreeable, and innutritious, is thrust down into the intestines, and at last into the rectum, where first is hell, and finally it is cast out and becomes excrement. It is similar with the life of man after death. He is at first kept in externals, and because he had externally led a civil and moral life, he is with angels and upright spirits. But after external things are taken away from him, there is revealed the inner nature of his thoughts and affections, and finally of his ends. And his life remains according to these last. Number 5176. So long as spirits are in the state resembling food in the stomach, so long they are not in the grand man, but are being introduced into it. But when they are representatively in the blood, then they are in the grand man. Number 5177. Those who have been very solicitous about the future, and especially those who have therefore become grasping and avaricious, appear in the region of the stomach. Many have appeared to me there. The sphere of their life may be compared to a sickening smell exhaled from the stomach, and also to heaviness consequent upon indigestion. Those of this character stay long in this region, because solicitude about the future, when confirmed by act, greatly dulls and retards the influx of spiritual life. For they arrogate to themselves what belongs to divine providence, and they who do this obstruct the influx and deprive themselves of the life of good and truth. Number 5178. As solicitude about the future produces anxieties in man, and as such spirits appear in the region of the stomach, therefore anxieties affect the stomach more than the other viscera. I have also been allowed to perceive how these anxieties are increased and diminished by the presence and removal of the spirits referred to. Some anxieties were perceived interiorly, some more exteriorly, some more above and some more below, according to the difference of such solicitude as regards origin, derivation, and direction. It is for this reason also that when such anxieties obsess the mind, the region about the stomach is constricted, and at times pain is felt there, and anxieties also seem to rise up thence. And hence also it is that when man is no longer solicitous about the future, or when everything turns out well for him, so that he no longer is apprehensive of any misfortune, the region about the stomach is relieved and expands, and he feels glad. Number 5179. I once observed an anxious feeling in the lower part of the stomach, from which it was evident to me that such spirits were present. I spoke with them and told them to go away, because their sphere induced anxiety and did not agree with the spheres of the spirits who were with me. I then discoursed with them about spheres, saying that there are very many spiritual spheres about man, and that men neither know nor wish to know that such is the case, because they deny everything that is called spiritual, and some deny whatever cannot be seen and touched. Thus that certain spheres from the spiritual world encompass man in agreement with his life, and that by means of them man is in company with spirits of similar affection, and that many things take place thereby which the man who attributes all things to nature either denies or ascribes to a more occult nature, as, for example, to fortune. For by their experience some persons are fully persuaded that something called fortune is secretly at work, but they know not its source. That this hidden something is from a spiritual sphere, and is the ultimate of providence, will of the Lord's divine mercy be shown elsewhere, from what has been attested by experience. Number 5180. There are genii and spirits who induce upon the head a kind of suction or drawing, in such a way as to cause pain in the part affected. I noticed a distinct feeling of suction, as if a membrane were being very sensibly sucked up. I doubt whether others could have borne this on account of the pain, but having become accustomed to it, I have at last often borne it without pain. The chief place of the suction was on the top of the head, and from there it spread towards the region of the left ear and also of the left eye. That which spread towards the eye was from spirits, and that which spread towards the ear was from genii. Both of these belong to the province of the receptacle and ducts of the chyle, whither also the chyle is drawn from all quarters, although at the same time it is driven forth. There were also others who acted within the head in almost the same way, but not with so great a force of suction. I was told that these are they to whom the subtle chyle corresponds, which is brought towards the brain and there mingled with new animal spirit, in order that it may be sent down towards the heart. They who acted outwardly were first seen by me in front, a little to the left, and afterwards in a higher position there, so that their region was observed to be from the plane of the septum of the nose, rising toward the plane of the left ear. They who constitute this province are of two kinds, some being fairly modest, while others are impudent. The modest are they who have desired to know men's thoughts for the purpose of alluring and binding them to themselves. For one who knows another's thoughts knows also his secret and inner things, and this affects conjunction, the end being social intercourse and friendship. These desire to know only what is good in man, examining this and putting a good interpretation on everything else. But the impudent desire and endeavor in many ways to find out the thoughts of others, with a view either of making capital of them or of doing harm. And because this is their desire and endeavor, they keep the person's mind fixed on the thing they want to know, never giving way, yielding an affectionate assent, and thus drawing out even the secret thoughts. In the other life, they act in a similar manner, in the communities there, and still more artfully. For there they do not allow the other to wander from his idea, but kindle it into activity, and thus lure it forth. By this means, they afterwards keep the others, as it were, in bonds, and under their control, being privy to their evils. But these spirits are among the wandering spirits, and are often chastised. Number 5181. From the gyres above mentioned, it may to some extent be known to what province in the grand man, and correspondentially in the body, spirits and angels belong. The gyres of those who belong to the province of the lymphatics are slight and rapid, like gently flowing water, so that scarcely any gyrating can be perceived. They who belong to the lymphatics are afterwards conveyed into places which, they said, have reference to the mesentery, and where I was told that there are, as it were, labyrinths, and that they are afterwards taken away to various places in the grand man to serve for use, as is done with the chyle in the body. Number 5182. There are gyres into which newly arrived spirits have to be initiated, that they may be in the company of others, and speak and think with them. In the other life, there must be a concord and unanimity of all, in order that they may be one, as is the case with each and all things in man, which, though everywhere various, yet make one by their common accord. It is similar in the grand man. And to this end, the thought and speech of one must be in accord with those of others. It is a fundamental necessity that thought and speech should accord in every member of a community. Otherwise, a discordance like a disagreeable grating noise is perceived, which strikes harshly on the minds of the others. Moreover, everything discordant tends to disunite and is impure, and must be rejected. This impurity arising from discord is represented by the impurity with and in the blood, from which it needs to be cleansed. This cleansing is effected by means of agitations, which are nothing but temptations of various kinds, and afterwards by means of induction into gyres. The first induction into gyres takes place in order that the spirits may be adapted to one another. The second is in order that thought and speech may be in accord. The third, that the spirits may agree together in thought and affection. And the fourth, that they may agree in truth and good. Number 5183. It has been granted me to observe the gyres of those who belong to the province of the liver, and this for the space of an hour. The gyres were gentle, flowing about variously in accordance with the working of this viscus, and they affected me with much delight. Their working is diverse, but is usually orbicular. This diversity of working is represented also in the functions of the liver, which are diverse. For the liver draws in blood and separates it, pouring the better part into the veins, sending away that of a middle quality into the hepatic duct, and leaving the viler part for the gallbladder. This is the case in adults, But in embryos, the liver receives the blood from the womb of the mother and purifies it, introducing the pure part into the veins, that it may flow into the heart by a shorter way, thus acting as a guard before the heart. Number 5184. They who belong to the pancreas act in a sharper way, and as it were in a sawing manner, and with a noise like that of sawing, which is audible to spirits, but not to man unless he is in the spirit while still in the body. Their region is between that of the spleen and that of the liver, more to the left. Those who are in the province of the spleen are almost directly over the head, but they operate upon the organ in question. Number 5185. There are spirits who have reference to the pancreatic, hepatic, and cystic ducts, and consequently to the secretions in them which the intestines cast out. These spirits are of different kinds, but act in consort according to the state of those upon whom they operate. They are generally present at chastisements and punishments which they desire to direct. The worst of them are so stubborn that they will not desist unless deterred by fears and threats, for they dread suffering and then promise anything. They are those who in the life of the body have clung tenaciously to their opinions, not so much from an evil life as from natural depravity. In their natural state, they think nothing. To think nothing is to think obscurely of many things at the same time, and not distinctly of anything. Their delight is to chastise, and in this way to do good. Nor do they abstain from things unclean. Number 5186. They who constitute the province of the gallbladder are at the back. They are those who in the life of the body have despised probity, and in a certain way piety, and also those who have brought these things into disrepute. Number 5187. A certain spirit came to me, inquiring whether I knew where he would stay, and when, thinking him well disposed, I told him that possibly he might stay where he was, there came agitating spirits of this province who harassed him terribly. I was sorry for this, and in vain desired to prevent it. I then noticed that I was in the province of the gallbladder. The agitating spirits were of those who despise probity and piety. It was granted me to observe one kind of agitation there that consists in forcing one to speak faster than he can think. This they effected by abstracting speech from thought, and then forcing the spirit to follow their speech, which it is painful to do. By means of such agitation, the slow are initiated into a quicker mode of thinking and speaking. Number 5188. There are some in the world who act by artifices and lies, whence come evils. Their character was shown me, and also the manner in which they act, how they employ the harmless as the means of persuading others, and also how they give them the false appearance of having said so and so, when they have said nothing of the kind. In a word, they use evil means to arrive at their end, whatever it may be, even such means as deceits, lies, and artifices. Such spirits have reference to the morbid growths called tubercles, which usually occur on the pleura and other membranes. And wherever these take firm hold, they spread their poison widely, until at last they bring decay upon the whole membrane. Such spirits are severely punished, but their punishment is different from that of others, being affected by whirling. For they are whirled round from left to right like a rotating body which at first is a plane, but which in whirling round swells out. Afterwards the swelling seems to be pressed in and hollowed out, whereupon the speed is increased. And wonderful to say, this swelling imitates the form of such tumors or abscesses. It was observed that while being whirled, they tried to draw others, for the most part the guiltless, into their eddy, and so to destruction. thus that they did not care whom they drew to perdition, so long as they gave them the impression that they were perishing. It was also observed that they have very keen sight, seeing as it were instantly and thereby seizing as means whatever is favorable, thus that they are sharper than others. They may also be called deadly ulcers, wherever in the cavity of the breast these may be, whether in the pleura, the pericardium, the mediastinum, or the lungs. It was shown that after punishment such spirits are sent to the back into the abyss, and that they lie there with the face and belly downwards, having but little human life, and losing thereby the sharp-sightedness of their brutish life. Their hell is in a deep place under the right foot, somewhere in front. Number 5189. There came some spirits in front, and before their coming I noticed a sphere of evil, from which I supposed that evil spirits were approaching. But they were the enemies of evil spirits, as I learned from the aggressive and hostile feeling which they inspired against them. When they arrived, they placed themselves above my head, and spoke with me, saying that they were men. I answered that they were not men endowed with a body such as men in the world have, who are wont to call themselves men from the form of the body, but that nevertheless they were men, because the spirit of man is truly the man. This seemed to excite no dissent, for they confirmed it. They said further that they were unlike one another, and because it seemed impossible to me that there could be a community in the other life of those who are unlike, I discussed it with them, saying that if a common cause impelled them to unity, they could be associated, because they would thus all have one end. They said that their nature was such that each one speaks differently from the others, and yet they all think alike. This they also illustrated by examples, whereby it appeared that the perception of all was the same, but that their speech was diverse. They then applied themselves to my left ear, and said that they were good spirits, and that it was their custom so to speak. It was said of them that they come in a body, and that no one knows where they come from. I perceived the sphere of evil spirits to be exceedingly hostile to them, for evil spirits are the subjects whom they agitate. Their society, which is a wandering one, was represented by a man and a woman in a chamber, clothed with a garment that was turned into a robe of an azure color. I perceived that they have reference to the isthmus in the brain, which is between the cerebrum and the cerebellum, through which fibers pass and thence spread in various directions, and in every direction operate diversely in externals. Also that they have reference to the ganglia in the body, into which a nerve runs and then is divided into a number of fibers, some of which run one way and some another, their action being dissimilar in ultimates, although from one origin. Thus in ultimates they are dissimilar in appearance, but similar in end. Moreover, it is known that one force acting in the extremities can produce various effects, and this according to the form there. Ends also are represented by the origins, such as they are in the brain, from which proceed the fibers. The thoughts from these ends are represented by the fibers from those origins, and the actions thence resulting by the nerves which are composed of fibers. Number 5190. A continuation of the correspondence with the grand man will be found at the end of the following chapter. End of Part 4 of the original Latin work.